Hi, everybody, and I'm continuing a little bit late here. Hopefully, I'll be able to do a short program from Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, Section 1, Part 4, Video Commentary. Today is the 30th of July, 2021. I'm beginning on page 33. There is, however, maybe a little segue here. DK tells us that we're watching the emergence of certain spiritual events. And one of them is the sending forth of teaching for the New Age and the founding in embryo of the schools of esotericism. Let's see where we are here. Hopefully, if you press the wrong key, it's all over unless you adjust it. So that's what I'm doing here. The founding of embryo of those schools of esotericism, which will embody the teaching for the new discipleship and the practical aspects of all that. He didn't yet say schools of initiation. The recognition of the new group of world servers and their work, and the emergence of the, this is a big one, the emergence of the fifth or spiritual kingdom. And then finally, the forming of the skeleton structure of the new groups of disciples, such, shall we say, as he was gathering around himself, from applicants to the Arcane School, and sometimes from those who had nothing to do with the Arcane School, but whom he put Alice Bailey in touch with. She then invited them to participate. Then, this segue, little segue here, DK goes on to say, these in the New Age will multiply. Let me say, the groups will multiply, going on, and so carry forward the work of integrating the inner and the outer groups and fostering the growth of the kingdom of God on earth. May I say that the inner groups are larger and the outer groups form kind of a tentative anchoring of these inner groups, fostering the growth of the kingdom of God on earth. May I say, in which we begin to trust each other instead of compete with each other and try to outdo each other and dominate each other. It's a very old and primitive method, and a new way is coming. Then DK goes on and says, this will bring to public attention the fact of the restoration of the mysteries of initiation, may I say, with which the Master R and the Christ have so much to do, but in a way, there are just certain members of the hierarchy who will help with this process of the restoration of the mysteries. So that takes us, we've ended program 16, and has it been that long since I did this? I don't think so. So maybe this ending here is more from, I believe, from the 28th, maybe, of July. Today is the 30th of July, and it's a program 17, and what do we have here? Intro to Dyna One, Section One, Volume One, of course. Part Four, Video Commentary. Okay. So let's go on. This will be, because the hour is late here, and I have to mind my P's and Q's. It will not be a long program. Maybe I can bring about an hour into it, something like that. So DK goes on now and says, the production of the outer form on Earth through the medium of books, of esoteric schools, and of educating public opinion has been committed to a group of us who form a part of the inner world government, disciples and initiates. And to this group, I play the part of secretary and of organizing contact man, if I may use words which will mean something to your ears, versed as you are in physical plane organizational work. Basically, he says, going on here, they mean little or nothing to us, versed as we are in the work of producing living organisms. Remember, may I say, that he talks about the Masonic organism, the church organism, and the banded esoteric organisms in terms of what has to be produced on the outer plane and not just organizations. So he's saying here that he's working with other initiates, and he's also working with the groups he's gathered. But among these initiates, and maybe he's not mentioning all who they are, he is the organizing contact man. Organizing. Well, and that, of course, you know, suggests this third ray in which he, upon which he works in a very high sense, in a monadic sense, I think, just as the Buddha worked upon the third ray. He goes on to say, this group to which I refer is composed of two Oriental initiates, of whom I am one, and five Occidental initiates. Well, that's seven in all. and let's say enough to fill out a kind of second ray series under Master KH, possibly. Two Oriental initiates, of whom I am one, and of five Occidental initiates. So is he somehow telling us the origin, whether Oriental or Occidental, of the initiate or master directorship of seven subsidiary ashrams? Well, anyway, he's not really revealing who they may be. And actually, he's not revealing what ray they are on, except we do suspect or imagine that they will be on the seven sub-rays of the second ray, with him on one of these sub-rays. Okay. We will leave now, he says, the consideration of the general picture and return to the subject of the specific work that this particular group of my disciples can do. Maybe there are other groups. So he specifies. And by that, I think he includes everybody in the seed groups that he has either organized or intends to organize. This particular writing being done in the, I think, the relatively early 1930s. You must avoid the idea that you are working in a unique way and alone. This is not so. So may I say, here we have a decentralizing statement, which can only be healthy for the psyches of those who are involved. It's always a temptation to think of oneself or one's group as special in some way. It leads to a form of individual or group lower egotism, and eventually proves destructive and veiling of reality. So repeating then, you must avoid the idea that you are working in a unique way and alone. This is not so. He goes on, there are many today working intelligently with our plans, often isolated and alone. And may I say that they just don't know their occult origins or connections, because maybe they have purposefully given them up to be able to concentrate all the more acutely on the subject at hand. But it is planned, may I say, that in the future they will be informed of their origins and their connections, so that now they can work even more powerfully. The main requirement in the group work, he says, which I seek at this time to emphasize is the most difficult one of a true impersonality. Well, I've often said, and I think it's true, that this perspective of real impersonality comes as the Antikarana is being built, and it emanates from the spiritual triad. And what goes on in the soul, I might call transpersonality. It still is, in a way, impersonal with respect to the usual demands of the personality. There's so many ways to mistake what impersonality really is. I wonder how well any of us know. We can slip into that kind of cold, don't care attitude. That's not the impersonality he's talking about. One of the members of the Arcane School, when I first came there back in the 1980, he had a statement. What could be warmer than the loving impersonality of the Christ? This was obviously a mantra by which he was living. So it's possible, certainly, to express a great love the way Master DK does for his chelas and still be impersonal, to see things from that larger perspective, which involves the mind, heart, and will of Sanat Kumara or the planetary logos. DK goes on two points. Disciples in the past have ever been emphatic. They have seen and felt the need for reticence where there is any spiritual experience, and have felt that the relating or the discussion of the spiritual and higher psychic events in their lives produces a sense of loss and was against occult law. Well, I wonder, it probably depends on how one speaks, for what motive, and to whom. Of course, with the cult silence as a necessary ingredient in the disciple's approach to growth, and as is found on Rule 11 in the Rays and Initiations, the content of one's experiences has to be kept in a somewhat categorized manner. So there are those to whom one can speak, and then of certain things, and there are those same ones before whom I mean, other ones rather, where occult silence on the same matters must be retained. It's that old, very graphic statement that gives us pause to think, do not cast your pearls before swine. Well, I guess, you know, to some of the greater ones, we are the swine, and so it goes. We have to be judicious about what we say and to whom, and those are the foundational principles of occult silence. But read that introduction to Rule 11 and see what you think. So anyway, disciples have demanded reticence. They have felt they must not speak of these things. And also, says DK, they have equally demanded reticence about their personality lives, about their mistakes and failings, and have demanded it more loudly than the permission to be silent about their soul life. Well, that doesn't sound too good, does it? It's like we have that super sensitivity regarding anybody speaking about our personality life. We don't want to be singled out, called out, what shall I say, embarrassed before the group gaze, shown to be far less than perfect. I guess we have to get over that. DK goes on. This, their demand has been based on a true recognition that the discussion of a spiritual happening with those who do not understand, okay, note that, has in it a great deal of danger. The danger of misinterpretation, of glamour, and of illusion. So, what can we say? Choose your interlocutor, choose the one to whom you will speak, or if you're not too choosy about that, then at least don't speak of things that such an individual cannot possibly understand and is more than likely to misinterpret, and that would be an act that would stop their progress on the path. What we say to others can have a very great impact, and you have to find, when you're speaking to someone, you have to find the way in. What is the way of recognition for these people, just the way DK has to find a way in for us? Maybe if he spoke of things that were immediately on his own level and things that he was working on, how would we not misinterpret? I mean, how much could we expect to understand such things? So that's the demand. It's understood. If we speak to the wrong person about the wrong thing and at the wrong time and so forth, the damage can be done. And I'm sure if we think back, we may find ourselves having done that. I know I've done that. I could have quieted my enthusiasm for a certain point of view, which couldn't possibly have been understood by the person to whom I was speaking. And the result was that this person thought maybe I was even crazier or stranger than she had originally thought. Not exactly the result I was hoping for. Also, then he goes on and says, the desire for reticence in the personality life is based usually on pride, on a fear of criticism, on terror of being derided, misunderstood, and judged. These are all unworthy motives. Well, as I say, you know, the super sensitive disciple, sensitive for the wrong reason, and rather fixated on the personality, fears, what should we say, fears being exposed. We're all exposed, you know, under the group gaze. And even if we think we have evaded the group gaze, well, really, we haven't. It's just that maybe it hasn't come up in any very direct manner, but the group does see. Okay. These are all things that happen along the way of cultivating the group life and of making the sacrifice of surrendering to the group, having our center of identity in the group, which is a lot different from where most of us have it, which is right in our personality, even if in a relatively high place in our personality. But Master DK goes on, among the disciples of the New Age groups, and ever in a master's ashram, there is no need for the theory of reticence. You are co-disciples and co-workers. If any of you have in the past or may in the future become initiates, it will not affect your relation to your fellow disciples in these groups. So this whole fear, this whole caution about reticence doesn't really affect co-disciples in the same way that it affects dialogue which is inappropriate between yourself and others who you realize cannot and will not understand. There's no need, says DK, for this theory of reticence. I guess it's all based on quite a degree of trust. I was thinking about that because we were just meditating on the glamour of suspicion, you know, and we find that where there is this glamour of suspicion, trust is not existing. It's a big problem. And a bigger problem even within nations and within humanity as a whole. We're not, and maybe with good cause at this time, trusting each other. We're trying to dominate and win and compete and all those unworthy things. That's what we're trying to do with respect to each other. To be the top dog, you know, but the real dog is serious and it's following the great deity Orion. That's different from being the ambitious top dog. Going on with DK, the knowledges of initiation cannot be passed on by word of mouth within the initiate ranks, for they are not communicated in speech or by letters. Now that's interesting. Are they passed on? Or are they not? The knowledges of initiation cannot be passed on by word of mouth within the initiate ranks, for they are not communicated in speech or by letters. So you wonder then, are they communicated by a symbol? Perhaps. DK goes on, only those who possess certain transcendental senses can take initiation, and should they try to communicate the secrets and mysteries of initiation in symbol, you know, even in symbol, okay, symbol or form, you would fail to react to or understand their meaning. Well, that kind of speaks to the degree to which very profound things can or cannot be communicated. It's these transcendental senses which must be cultivated. DK goes on then, so in this group of my disciples, let there be the recognition of unity of thought. Experience, thought, and difficulties and problems can be shared. And the cultivation of a sympathetic understanding and of mutual aid in the spiritual life can be developed. Well, okay, you know, Master DK was always, frequently putting his disciples in touch with each other. X, you should write to Y. A, you should write to B. And this one has something to offer for you. You would benefit from conversation with this person. Those were, of course, pre-internet days, so it all had to be done by letter, you know. But the principle is here. You can, within a discipleship group, share your experience, your thoughts, your difficulties, your problems, and a sympathetic understanding, which is so necessary eventually, can be cultivated. And aid can be evoked with benefit to the one aided and benefit to the one offering the aid. Let's think about our incarnation. To how many people have we offered? I mean, knowing they are on the path of discipleship. To how many people have we offered sympathetic understanding and aid, which is not just any kind of know-it-all attitude, where you're just returning to them certain words which touch on their issues, but in fact you have the sympathetic understanding. That is another step. Going on with DK. Disciples are people of mature years from the standpoint of the soul. Well, lots of soul experience and maybe have incarnated as a human being earlier than those they may be called upon to assist. So, repeating here, disciples are people of mature years from the standpoint of the soul, and therefore the pettinesses of life and small frictional difficulties will not be shared by you with each other. I mean, there are things that are just not worthy, not useful to discuss and are tiring upon the person with whom discussion is attempted, not uplifting. Here is DK moving on. There should be no temptation to waste each other's time in idle talk. The idle word, the selfish word, the cruel, hateful word, produce a prison, poison all the springs of life, and lead to disaster and delay. This is from the 15 Councils, beginning on page 473 in A Treatise on White Magic. Idle talk has no place. It's just kind of stirring the pot. It's not leading anywhere. Going on with DK, it is the broad and general outline of the plan for the outer work of these groups of disciples, which should engage your thoughts and communications with each other. And, you know, this is just another way, I think it's number 15 there, of the councils, where he says, speak not of self, pity not thy fate. Thoughts of the lower self and the self and its lower destiny prevent the inner voice of thine own soul from striking on thine ear. Speak of the soul, enlarge upon the plan, lose thyself in building for the world. Thus will the law of form be offset. Thus will the rule of love enter upon the world. Well, I may have gotten a few words, you know, a little incorrect there, but that's the general idea of point number 15 in these 15 councils, where he's basically saying these are legitimate subjects for communication, speak of the soul, enlarge upon the plan, lose thyself in building for the world. All that is legitimate, but the usual idleness of thought regarding the lower personality is just a waste of time. So check that out. Check that out. Probably by that time it's on page 475 of a treatise on white magic. The groups planned will be of many different kinds. May I say that right there he's even looking at the 10 seed groups. They are the ones that he has in mind, and they are of different kinds, with members of different ray tendencies. The groups planned will be of many different kinds, and their work will be diversified and varied. Okay. He goes on, I have for some time desired to write a little more fully about the groups which are forming in the world today under the direction of the masters. And he already told us, did he not, that there are two Oriental initiates. He is one of them, and apparently five Occidental initiates who are communicating the ageless wisdom to humanity, maybe in the somewhat technical sense. So he wanted to write more fully about these groups, and that's pretty much what he's going to do coming up. These groups, I guess, will gradually make their appearance. Always note, please, when that word gradually is offered. It doesn't mean suddenly. Sometimes we human beings are in such a rush, you know, that we don't understand the hierarchical process and the fact that, how's it put, that their footsteps, their stride spans centuries. They will gradually make their appearance in the world and fulfill their destined mission, maybe by, you know, the year 2200. It's a, as I said, a 275-year project, about 100 years of which have elapsed. DK goes on to say, four of these groups are already formed or in process of forming, and the others will gradually be created to meet the advancing need. So what are the four? Probably at first, the telepathic communicators, the trained observers, the magnetic healers, and the educators of the New Age. I guess those are the only groups that he was able to complete in the sense of gathering the necessary personnel. And when he started with the political group, he basically only made his way into or appointed three members. I guess there were many problems with the world situation and his attention needed to be given to emergencies which involved all of humanity. So there was a suspension of the formation of the groups of nine. Now we might say he's going to continue with that formation. We don't know in what manner, but we suspect, we imagine that, yes, indeed, we are not done by any means with the seed group project. Basically, he formed other larger groups at the time. Maybe they would be a little easier to handle under emergency situations, and their membership consisted of accepted disciples, which means they all but one took the first initiation. It is essential that members of these groups have a wider vision than they now have. This is what he's saying. Their membership in any of the groups constitutes an act of service which they are rendering to the work which I and the other members of the hierarchy are carrying forward under the plan. So he's talking about the attitude of the group members, and we now, although, you know, we're not formally members, as was the case with those gathered at that time and written to, we can determine our behavior by what he says. The individual disciple, he says, must not look upon the work as a marvelous opportunity for his own spiritual development. That's a big one, right? All true disciples are equally distinguished by a determination to make the group successful. And all are longing to get as much out of the group work as possible. All are genuinely animated by a desire to serve, but also by a general satisfaction over the interest and opportunity offered by the group work. Well, some of these things, may I say, are good, and others are simply to be expected. If we get too personal about the whole thing and say, now I can really advance because I'm the member of such a group, we are missing the point. Yes, we want to make success of everything, and yes, we want to benefit from our participation. And yes, we want to serve, but we have this general satisfaction over the interest and opportunity offered by the group work. Well, how deeply does that go? And is it the main thing with us? In other words, is individual pride fostered by our participation in such a group. So DK goes on to say, all along with these most normal and right reactions are to be found much ignorance as to the true significance of the work, a good deal of selfish pleasure, and some ambition. Well, he is assessing what he sees. So all this business about making good and benefiting from the opportunity, it's all quite good and natural, but there are other things there. But the group doesn't really know the larger context of what it's doing. And what, you know, what is the true significance of that work? And selfish pleasure, you can almost feel how that would feel. You know, even down to the crude thought, I'm a member of these groups and you are not. You would think that disciples would not think that way, but you know, it will happen. And some ambition for the little personal self. He says this is natural, for no perfection is yet to be expected among disciples. And let me say that realism about expectations allows him to continue even when there are some quite adverse reactions. They are predictable. If, he says, if perfection existed, you would all be found working in a different relation to the Great White Lodge. In other words, you would be initiates and even masters. So think about the material with which DK has to work. We are that material with all of our imperfections. And yet, you know, he is compassionate enough to take his time to really attempt to build up such groups. And, you know, it can't always be a pretty sight, I guess. Oh, so he, I'll just do a little more now, not much. In order to clarify this group work, he says, this group work, which the hierarchy plans, enable you to grasp the intent clearly, I will tell you something of the purpose which lies behind the groups and of the general plan into which it is desired that they fit. Okay, broadening our point of view. He's acting very much like the planet Jupiter, you know, enlarging our consciousness and point of view. He goes on to say, in the early stages of any hierarchical experiment, much difficulty is encountered. May I say, well, the bringing together of very contrasting energies, such as that of the soul on its own plane, or at least, you know, the causal body on its own level of the higher mind, and then the personality, the bringing together of two such differently tending energies will produce the pressure and the difficulty. So, as he says, much difficulty is encountered owing to the material with which the initiating agents, such as myself, have to work. And that's us, isn't it? We are that material, at least in terms of our personality condition, and maybe in terms of the degree of development of our causal body. He goes on to say, any new idea, especially if it embodies a purpose which can only materialize later when the plan is further perfected, falls naturally or fails naturally to meet with full comprehension in the early stages. Well, he simply knows that's true, and he takes the risk. The master is dealing with not just with initiates, he's even dealing with disciples and aspirants. I am really hoping I've done this correctly. Okay. I've said that these groups constitute an experiment. This experiment is fourfold in nature, and a concise statement about it may prove helpful. Now, I'm not going to get into that concise statement. It is the hours late here. I don't have time to do it. And it looks like something that really deserves its own type of attention, because, you know, when he starts making these highly organized outlines, you really have to pay attention. And here he is talking about some of the groups and what they do, and it doesn't hurt for us to try to realize more in detail what these groups are really doing. So we are on page 35. And, you know, just a few pages as we go along, that's the way we've been doing it. And I'll come down here. And this would be the end of program 17, right? And it would go from 33 to 35, and the day would be the 30th of July. We're getting into August right away, and program 18 will be beginning. Well, I guess, you know, I'm going fairly slowly, so we're going to have quite a few programs, and the likelihood, I don't know whether it'll be tomorrow or when it will be exactly, but I'll leave it as July, and maybe it will be, in fact, August before I can actually get into more. So much to think about and to make real in our lives. So then this would be the end of Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, Section 1, Talks to Disciples, right? Part 4, Video Commentary, to be resumed when we can. And Tui and I and all the communications team, BL and Joe and Michael Stacy, we all, and others, of course, on a less regular basis, we wish you success, lots of love, and many blessings. And deepening meditation and successful study and finding the way to apply in service what you are learning. That's probably, well, that's a very, very important thing. There are places where DK tells us that service is the key, and even more can be accomplished by it than meditation, which is quite a statement. Even more through service than meditation. Okay. So we'll send this along. BL will post it onto Makara, and Harold and Joe will see to it that it's on YouTube. And I will send out to some, as I have been doing, a little different version of it. And if you want to be on that list, you can let me know. Okay. So that'll be it for the moment. And on we go. Bye-bye for right now.